Thanks for tuning in to the Catalyst Church Sermon Podcast. Our church's mission is to help people far from God find life in Jesus Christ. For more information about Catalyst, go to www.thisiscatalyst.com. Now let's listen in.
In the fall of 1999, I was faced with the second biggest decision of my life. Obviously, the first biggest decision of my life was a decision that I had made about 8 years prior to that, when I made the decision that I wanted to follow Jesus and I wanted to be committed to Him for the rest of my life. And that's the biggest decision that you will ever make in your life. It's the decision that will change your eternal destiny and put you on the path that God wants. And that was a decision I made at 17. But here I am in 1999. Sierra and I had been dating for about a year and a half, and I was at that point in our relationship where I needed to figure out what the future was. And if you've ever been in that type of relationship with someone, you kind of have to figure out, okay, is this have a future or does it not have a future? Where is this all going? And so in that fall, I was kind of wrestling with what to do with that. Now, she had already decided long ago that I was the one that God had chosen for her to marry. It was a very easy decision for her because, hey, right? I mean, really, like it's like, come on. You know, but for me, I'm a planner, and I want to know what the plan is, and I want to know, you know, if this thing is going to work out 30 years from now, and I don't want to make a decision and then, you know, come 7-year itch and go, oh man, this isn't what I signed up for, I don't really know her that well. And so if you've been in that position, guys, if you've ever been there, you kind of know it's a very, very big decision that you have to make to put a ring on it and say, hey, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. And this was a big decision. I remember sharing that that transition time of my life with my best friend Brian at the time. We were in seminary together, and we would have to drive from Ventura to Pasadena for graduate school, and so we had long drives and lots of amazing talks together. And I shared with him, I said, hey man, you know, we've been dating for like a year and a half, I need to figure out like where's this going, you know. And and he asked me, he said, well, what's God doing? And so I shared some things of what's God doing, and he challenged me. He says, well, how much are you really praying about this? You know, and I'm a seminary student, I'm a youth pastor, and it was a little bit of a gut check moment for me to go, oh, you know what, I really haven't been praying about the future of this relationship maybe as much as I have. And so I said, well, man, I think, you know, I have been praying, but I don't feel like I have like a very clear answer to this particular question in my life. And I said, well, when you were making that decision with your now wife, how did you pray? And he said, you're a lot like me, you're dumb. And God has to really speak very, very loudly to get your attention, just like He does for me. I don't know if you're like that, but God's got to like really yell for me to hear. And He said, this is how I pray. God, if this is your will, I want you to fling the doors wide open. Or if it's not your will, I need you to slam the door in my face somehow so that I know what your will is. And God, as long as you keep that door open, I will one step at a time continue to walk closer to that until the door closes. And that was a huge eye-opener for me because I'd always thought, God, I want you to show me what your long-term plan is. God, I want you to show me like what our life is going to be like. Is everything going to work out, you know? And is the plan in my mind going to be safe and secure and executed properly according to my timeline? And one of the things that I learned in that transition of my life is that God most often leads us one step at a time. And if He keeps opening doors, our role is to walk one step at a time. And I was reminded through that entire process, and I've been reminded this over and over and over again in my walk with Jesus, is that God is always moving, God is always speaking, and He is always at work in our lives. Can I get an amen on that? The question is, where does God want me to go? If He's moving, where am I supposed to go? If He's speaking, can I hear it? And am I listening? And can I actually hear and interpret what God is speaking to me in? And what does God want me to do? These are critical, very important questions for us to ask. And if you're anything like me, you wish the answer to these questions were way more clear than they are. Can I get a raise of hands? I wish God was a little bit more clear on some of this stuff, right? The rest of you that aren't raising your hands are just either sleeping or lying. But we're going to spend the next 6 weeks together on Sunday mornings learning what it means to follow God's leading. Whether it's following His call for your life, whether it's learning to listen and hear His voice in your life, or whether it's taking the next step in this life that God has given you, we're going to learn to follow God's leading. We're going to learn to follow the cloud. We're going to spend the next three Sundays learning, examining Scripture on what it means for us to follow God's leading in the average, everyday aspects of our lives. So that, how do we know that we're doing what God wants us to do? How do we regularly hear God's active voice in our lives to know that He's speaking, that He's guiding, and He's leading us? And we're going to spend 3 weeks just kind of looking at what it means to follow God in the average, mundane aspects of life. And then 3 weeks later, we're going to flip that around, and we're going to learn what it means to follow God in the darkness. In the darkness, darkest points of our lives, how do we stay faithful to God, and how do we look for Him when all hope, faith, and we've lost our way? But these questions that I raised up earlier come up often when we're uncertain about our future. Maybe we're asking God, what is my next step in life? God, am I supposed to make a job change? Maybe that transition for you is a relationship right now, and you're wondering in this relationship, are you supposed to stay in it, or are you supposed to walk away from it? Maybe for some of you, it's the decision on whether or not you want to try to start a family. And for some people, that's a risky endeavor because you don't know what the future is going to hold. Maybe some of you are trying to figure out, are we supposed to foster children, or maybe foster adopt, or are we going to start a family on our own? But we don't really know what the plan is. We don't know what God's will is. Should we do it? Should we not? Should we wait? Should we just trust God? What do we do? Maybe for some of you, it might be a call to ministry or missions. Maybe God's placed something on you and you go, man, that's a risky endeavor for me to quit my job and just to go after the calling that Jesus has placed on my life. Maybe for some of you, it's a significant geographical move. And you don't know, like, hey, maybe we're facing a retirement season and we don't know if we need to make a move in our lives, but we're afraid because we have family here and we have like comfort here and we just don't know if we should be making this move. Maybe the transition for some of you is knowing that God is doing a work in you to pull you out of this addiction or this bad habit that you keep falling back into. And you now are in a transition where you're going, man, if I fall back into that one more time, I'm dead meat. But I don't know how to step forward into God's plan for my life. Maybe if you're anything like us in our family right now, we're about ready to head into a transitionary season because our kids are getting older. Our daughter's a senior in high school, and we're kind of looking and going, okay, like, we have, you know, one more year, less than a year left before hopefully she, you know, leaves the house. Hopefully she leaves the house, and hopefully she leaves the house, you know, but God, that's my plan. I'd like to spend less on groceries for a little while, but maybe for some of you, it's a step towards Jesus today. You've been coming around to church for a little while, or you've been having conversations with friends at work or family members, and you've been examining who Jesus Christ is, and you're just kind of on that fence going, I don't know if this is really what I want to give my life to. And if it is, I don't even know what the first step is. Because see, there are moments that we all face in our lives that are unexpected, and we don't know what to do next. And so if you're walking into the unknown, this series is for you. If you're ever going to be in a place where you're going to walk into the unknown, this series is for you. So in everyday life, how can we follow God's leading and hear His voice? The answer is to follow the cloud. What I mean by that is there is a story in Exodus. And if you have your Bibles, you can begin in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to jump over to Exodus 13 short thereafter. But there's a story in the Bible, and it actually begins back in Genesis, where there's a man named Jacob, and God changes his name to Israel. And Israel, has a relationship with God, and Israel knows that that God had made a promise to his grandfather Abraham that at one point that his people, the Israelites, would actually inherit the promised land. See, they didn't have a nation of their own. They didn't have laws to govern them. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a leader, and they didn't have a land that they owned as their own. They've been kicked around into different regions depending on the situation that they're in. And so God had made a promise earlier to Abraham and said, I will give you a land that will be your own, a land that is full of milk and honey, and God will fulfill his promise to these people. Well, Israel, or Jacob, God changes his name to Israel. And at one point in his life, in the book of Genesis, Israel's family is growing, meaning the family of God is growing, and they're forced to move to Egypt because there's a great famine in the land. And so Israel himself and the nation of Israel make this transition to Egypt. They arrive into Egypt, and they're accepted with really no problems. Egypt welcomes in these foreigners, and they begin to live in harmony with one another, and they're accepted in. But soon thereafter, as time goes on, Israel as a nation grows to be close to like millions of people. Generation after generation, the people grow, and these refugees at some point began to outnumber the Egyptians. And so the Egyptians make the decision that before this gets out of hand, we need to make these Israelites our slaves. And so we're going to put them under our thumb, we're going to treat them less than human, and they are going to become the work slaves for the nation of Egypt. And for 400 years, it says, Israel was captive as slaves in Egypt. For 400 years. They were oppressed. They had no like identity as a people or a national identity. They were suffering. And at one point, not at one point, but ongoing, the nation of Israel cries out to God and asks him for help. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. If you ever, ever worry about whether or not God knows what's going on in your life, Exodus 3 verse 7 should give you hope. Because he hears every cry, and he hears every prayer, and he's actually concerned about your suffering. It says in here that he knows what you're going through, and it actually concerns him, and it concerns him to the point of this. Look at verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. In the same way, when we cry out to God asking him for help, and because we're suffering or we're not living in the freedom that Christ has given us, or we have family issues, relationship issues, career issues, faith issues, whatever it may be, when we cry out to God, we know the promise that he actually hears us. He understands what you're going through, but most importantly, he sends rescue to us. We may not feel it, we may not see it, but God does not passively sit back in our lives hoping that we'll figure it out. He always sends rescue. And in the case of Israel, he's going to send a man named Moses. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so if you've heard this story before, Moses kind of freaks out before God. He says, I'm unworthy. I can't speak well. How am I supposed to go to Pharaoh and be your negotiator? And so he says, well, take your brother Aaron, and he will be your spokesperson for you. And so from that point forward, God sends Moses as his prophet and as his messenger to do exactly what he said that he was going to do. And from that point forward, when Moses tells Pharaoh that you are to let my people go, we see in the story of Exodus what they describe as a clash of the gods. Pharaoh, being that he believed that he was divine, said that I can withstand anything that your God, the God of Israel, can throw my way. And so over time, God sends 10 plagues over Egypt. And finally, at the 10th one, when the firstborn of every Egyptian is killed by the Spirit of God, Pharaoh relents. And he allows Moses to lead the people out of slavery into somewhere else. And that's where the story picks up in Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 17. So if you want to have your take your Bibles and go there, we're going to go and walk through this story together to learn how to follow the cloud. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. If you're there, say word. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war with the Philistines, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. Verse 18, so God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. So God begins to lead them out of slavery into something else, and they don't know what they're going to face. All they know is that God has released them, and they're supposed to go and do something else. And they figured that this was going to be a hard road to walk. Imagine, even though you're slaves, you have a job, you have food, you have provision, you have family, you have a place to live, you know what's going to come next, and then you walk out of Israel, or out of Egypt, into something, the unknown, and you have no idea what's going to happen next. And the first test that comes is God says, no, I don't want you to go the fast route, I want you to take the roundabout way. So they're like, wait a minute, we're going to take the roundabout way. We're walking here, God. We're not going to take the shortcut through there. We're going to go around there. And God says, no, because if you face the Philistines and you have to actually fight for your freedom, you're going to turn around and head back to where we came from. And they thought that as God was leading them out of something and into something else, that the battle was going to be external. The battle for their freedom was going to be external. What they soon realize, or what we're going to realize, story, is that the battle was not external. They weren't going to have to go to war. The battle was internal. It was within themselves. Because they're going to have to make a choice here very soon. Are they going to follow God's leading, or are they going to do something else? Look at verse 19. Moses then took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. That comes out of Genesis chapter 50, verses 20. At the end of the book of Genesis, right before Joseph dies, he makes the nation of Israel swear an oath that his bones will be taken into the promised land. Look at verse 20. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now just imagine this scene for a moment. Just try to picture that. As they're being led out of slavery, into the unknown, what does God do? He leads them with this pillar of cloud by day. I don't know how big that pillar of cloud was. I don't know how intimidating that pillar of cloud was. But God, in His grace, says, I'm not going to make you figure out where to go on your own. I'm going to lead you step by step. I'm not only going to lead you during the day, but I'm also going to lead you during night. I'm not only going to lead you during the day when you can see your surroundings, I'm also going to lead you at night when you don't have a clue where you are. Because that's how good I am. And I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to lead you to where you need to go. For many of them, I'm sure this was like one of those, the next step in the undeniable power of God, as they had watched Him unleash 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt. And now, God, as they walk out, puts a cloud in front of them. And it says that the cloud never left the front of the people. God never stopped leading the nation of Israel by cloud. Israel at this point in this story is going to be faced with a choice that you and I are going to face often in life. Will they follow the cloud? Will they make the choice to follow God's lead? See, because following the cloud means trusting God. Looking up from the circumstances of our lives and going, God, where are you leading me? God, what are you doing? God, what is my next step? I'm not going to trust my own wisdom. I'm not going to trust the people around me. God, my first place to look is to the cloud. So when I'm facing the unknown of my life, when I don't know what the future holds, God says, follow the cloud. Look to me and follow. Now, the cloud represents two things that are really critically important for us as we learn how to do this in our own lives. The cloud provides two things here. It provides God's presence, and it represents His protection. His presence and His protection. Throughout all of the Old Testament, if you read through it, the cloud represents the presence of God. As the glory cloud rolls into the tabernacle later in the story, in the story of the Israelites, it represents that God's presence is moving into the tabernacle. It does the same thing in the Holy of Holies when the temple is built in Jerusalem, that God's presence is always represented by a cloud. Will you follow the cloud? When you can't see the next step in life, and when you don't know what the future holds, will you follow the cloud? Because the first thing that we see here is that following the cloud means trusting God at each next step. Now, Israel knew God's ultimate plan for them. They had known the promise. They had been celebrating the promise that was given to Abraham generations before that, that the nation would inherit the promised land. They knew that ultimately, that as a people, that they would inherit something more magnificent, something that they had never had before. But how they were to get there was totally unknown. We equate that in the Christian life to say, we know the end of the story, don't we? Do you, Christian, know where you will spend eternity? Do you know where your promised land is, yes or no? Yes, we know that in the end, God is going to restore all things. He's going to make all things new in eternity, in this body that we live in. And the problems that we face in this life are going to soon come to an end. And we're going to stand face to face with our God and our Savior. And He's going to make all things new in our lives. That's our promised land. That's the only promise that we can hold on to as the ultimate truth. And so as Israel knows that that's the eventual promise, but they don't know if they're going to be the ones to live to see it. So the pathway to get there is completely unknown. The timing is completely unknown. The frustrations that are going to come along as you follow the cloud are completely unknown, as they were to Israel. And so the first question that Israel faces, that you and I have to answer at the crossroads of transitions in our lives, is, will I follow the cloud? Will I make the choice to trust God and follow Him? Because God says, I have a destiny for you. I know the end of your story. And will you follow me step by step, even when you can't see where the road leads? Because see, the cloud for Israel leads them one step at a time. It's not the entire path forward. And isn't that life? Isn't that life? It would be really nice if we could see the future. But God just leads us one step at a time. And so the question before Israel is, will you take the next step? If I step, will you step? If I stay, will you stay? Will we trust Him one step at a time? See, because in this story here, when we follow the cloud, we're essentially submitting to several things that God has in store for us. Number one is that we are submitting to His pathway. Right? As it said earlier in verse 17, God did not lead them the short route through the Philistines because he knew that if they faced the Philistines, they would be scared. They would run back and ask for forgiveness from Egypt and want to run back to there. And God says, no, I choose the path. I choose the path. And so following the cloud means I surrender the path to you, God, that I will walk step by step, asking, following your lead every single day, even when I can't see or I don't understand why you're taking me that way. I think very often this is the exact reason why so many of us see God's will for our lives in retrospect. Because God doesn't reveal the end. He doesn't reveal, what's going to happen in 10, 20, 30, 40 years with our relationships or with the careers that we choose or how our kids are going to grow up. He says, will you just trust me today? And will you step and follow the cloud with me today? So when we're submitting to God's, when we're following the cloud, we're essentially saying, God, I trust you with the path. The pathway may not be the path that I choose, but I trust you with it. The second thing that we have to trust God with is the timing of it. Israel, in the story, walks into the promised land. Essentially, they're walking towards the promised land. But how many more years did it take them to get there? How many, church people? 40 years. 40 more years. It took wandering in the desert for them to reach the promised land. In fact, the first generation was not allowed to go into the promised land because of their disobedience. And so we submit, when we follow the cloud, not only to the path, but we submit to the timing. I heard a friend say one time that God is never late, but always on time. He's never late, but he's always on time. But we think, God, we need to do this on my timing. God, I want an answer now. God, I want to know now. And the third thing that we see in here is that when we submit to following the cloud, we're also submitting to the confusion that comes with it. To the confusion that comes with it. We're going to see in a little bit in this story that their enemies, the Egyptians, think they're crazy for leaving. The people themselves think they're crazy for going and do this, and they begin to question God's goodness. They begin to question God's plan. There's confusion along the way. And so following the cloud means that we have to embrace the mystery and embrace the confusion that we feel and the questions that come from the people around us. That right there, guys, I'll be honest with you, is the hardest part for me. Is to say, God, I'm so confused as to what you're doing right now. I don't know. Will you just show me why? Will you just show me why? And God says over and over again, Chris, just follow my lead. You don't need to know why. You just need to trust. You know, when we're little kids, we always get really excited to go to Sunday school or to go to the restaurant where they have the connect the dots game. And you know what I'm talking about? And when you're a little kid, you're stupid, right? I always say kids are dumb. They're not very smart. Babies are even dumber because they can't talk. But when you're a little kid and you go to the, it's just true. They're not very smart. And so they get really excited about a connect the dots like this one, right? Where it's like, can you put that up? The first, there you go. You're like, yeah, it's a connect the dots, right? And they're like, ooh, I wonder what that is. They're like, one, two, and we as adults were like, dude, it's a fish. Come on, seriously? And they're like trying to figure it out. And they get to, 24 and they're like, oh, it's a fish, and whatever. Or you go to the Sunday school version of it and you're like, as adults, you're like, yeah, duh, it's Jesus holding a lamb. But the kids are like, one, two, I wonder what this is going to be, because when we're children, life is very, very simple. And in some instances of our lives, we feel it's really easy to follow the cloud, to go step by step, dot by dot, in the things of our lives. And that's how we think it should be, right? The answer, of course, is always Jesus, but we think that the connect the dots should be an easy road for us. But that's not real life. This is real life, as you think about this illustration. This is real life, isn't it? That's my life, right? I don't know how about you. For those of you who are retired, you're like, dude, it's about the fish right now. That's easy. I got this, right? It's simple, right? But this is more like real life, and you're like, man, I don't see the big picture, God. I'm confused. It's going to take forever. People are going to think I'm stupid. Like, I don't understand. I'm just trying to figure out where the number one is so that I can do this thing. This is more like real life. But God says in us, he says, I want you to trust me. Start with the first step. Follow the cloud. Follow the connect the dots in every single day of your life, and my will for you will begin to unfold. You guys want to know what that is, don't you? So I spent quite a bit of time last night trying to do that, and that's what it is. Can you see it? It's a giraffe. It's a really confusing giraffe, but it's a giraffe, right? I decided that I was actually going to complete it yesterday, and Sierra says, is that what you just spent the last 45 minutes doing? 1,300 and some dots on that thing. And I'll tell you, as I was walking through it, I had every single thought that I would just went over right now. I'm like, this is a waste of time. Like, this is stupid. Like, I got lawns to mow. I got dishes to do. I got things. I want to spend time with my family. I don't want to connect the dots, right? There were times in like 200. There's 1,300 and some dots there. At like 2-something, there, and then again at like 700 and something, I contemplated handing it off to my son and asking him to finish it for me because I didn't want to do it. Like, this is just too hard. It's taking too long. Why am I even doing this in the first place? And so many of us go through those same motions in our relationship with God, and each time he's like, just hit the next dot. Just hit the next dot. Just hit the next dot. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Just take one more step. Take one more step. Instead of just trying to answer all the questions yourself, just follow the cloud, Chris. Just follow the cloud. Just take that next step. How do we do this? We're going to spend the next several weeks, getting into the more details about answering questions like, how do we hear the voice of God? How do we obey his word? What are the benefits of obedience when it comes to this? Well, we don't have a cloud to follow, but we do have a Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, Christian, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That every single step of our lives, we're saying, God, I choose to follow you. Jesus, I choose to follow you. Holy Spirit, I choose to follow your leading, whatever path that may take, however long it may take, or however big that step may be, I will follow you. The story continues. Verse 1. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near several towns. Verse 3, Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and all of his troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the Sea of Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out here? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? They're having second thoughts as the enemy is coming in on them. They say, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. They are freaking out at the unknown, and the enemy is approaching, and pressure is on, and they don't know what to do next, and so they start to freak out and go, you know what? It was better to be a slave than it is to die out here. It is better to stay in my old ways rather than follow your path, God. It is better to do my plan than your plan. All because the trial is about to come. And the enemy is quickly approaching. Verse 13, and Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." See, God's cloud is not only his presence, but is also his protection over your life. Will you trust that when the pressure comes of following God's leading in your life, will you be still and allow God to fight the battles for you? Because Israel is faced with a three-pronged fork in the road at this point in their story. And it's the same three-pronged fork that we all face in the various transitions that we go through when we feel the pressure coming. Number one is they start to go, you know what? This is way too hard. I'm too scared and I don't trust you, God. So I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm not going to walk into the unknown in trust and in faith. I'm going to walk back to what I know. And so rather than stepping forward, so many of them want to step back because they don't trust that God's going to protect them on the path that he's leading them in. I mean, how often do we do that? We sense that God is leading us to do something in our lives. I don't know what it is for you, but we take that step and then fear begins to overtake us and we go back to our old lives. It happens in people's faith all the time. They give their lives to Jesus. They get baptized here. They say, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And then as soon as the addiction rears its ugly head, as soon as the girlfriend wants to break up, as soon as hardships comes over, they go, this is way too hard. I'm going to go back and I'm going to walk away from Jesus and I want to go back and do my own thing again. Because this is too hard and it's too scary and I don't think, God, you're going to stay faithful through it. So I am out. And Egypt wanted an out. They said it's better to be a slave than to walk into the freedom of the future. What a tragic choice that is for so many of us. And we do it in all kinds of facets of our lives. We walk back instead of forward. They also can make the choice that when the enemy is coming into their lives to ruin God's plan for them, many of them want to fight the Egyptians. Well, what if we just fight back? Can we win this battle for ourselves? Can we just pull up our bootstraps with our own power and with our own might, and we will fight the battle instead of allowing God to fight the battle? And we do that often in our lives too, that when we face hardships or we're going through seasons of suffering or we're relational tension or whatever that may be in our lives, rather than saying, God, I'm going to allow you to fight those battles for us, we try to take control of the situation again and fight for it ourselves. When God just say, just let the cloud do its thing. Because it's not only his presence, but it's also his protection over you. Follow the cloud. It says in verse 14 that the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. My guess is that there are some of you in here that are fighting huge life battles right now. You feel like you're one step away from divorce. You're one choice away from falling back into addiction. You're one bad decision away from being found out and losing everything. And you're trying to fight this battle on your own. You're trying to hide it. You're trying to fight it. And God is just saying, will you let me fight this for you? Will you just surrender this over to me and let me fight it for you? And follow me each day and watch your beautiful life plan unfold in front of you. So we have a choice to make. Will we follow the cloud? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Will you trust God and make the same choice that Israel did to follow the cloud? When life is uncertain, when you're feeling under attack, when you can't see the other side of the sea, and you don't know how you're going to get there, when you're afraid, when you're alone, when you're hungry, when you're confused, look up and follow the cloud. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning that your presence and your protection over our lives is unwavering and it is unending. We thank you, God, that your presence and your protection over our lives is unwavering and it is never ending. Will you help us? Will you help me to look up and follow the cloud each day of my life? It is the desire of our hearts in this room this morning to follow you obediently and to walk lock and step with your Holy Spirit's plan for our lives. Will you help us to follow the cloud? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.